Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettelia along with Cullen Steele in studio and on our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line from Turlings Catholic High School in Lafayette, Southwest Louisiana. Back then, that's what it was called, now University of Louisiana. Saints, Panthers, what is Browns, Texans. Jake DeLome, I should say Amsterdam because Joe Clark, man, if he might send a lightning bolt after me. Jake, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Well, thanks for having me, Mike. And, yeah, you better make sure you say the Amsterdam Admirals and the Frankfurt Galaxy. I count them all, man.
I never forget, you know, because one thing with Coach Clark, sometimes names sort of escaped him. And he got in the groove, and he was like, man, Mike, I'm just telling you, Jake's doing great out here, doing great in the practices. But, we got a big lumberjack quarterback. I was like, oh, what's his name? He was like, Ken Warner. I was like, Ken Warner? And he told me Ken Warner for quite some time, and then he changed it. He said, no, I've been saying Ken, but it's Kurt. And so that's unbelievable that both you and Kurt both on the same team in NFL Europe at the same time. That's unreal. And was Mike McCoy the third-string quarterback who ended up being the head coach with the Panthers?
No, Mike McCoy was in Amsterdam the year prior to me going. And then he ended up being my quarterback coach in Carolina for 6 of my 7 years. And he went on to Denver as the OC for multiple years and then head coach of the Chargers. And now he is the quarterback coach in Jacksonville. So, yeah, NFL Europe was a great proving ground for many young players. And I love that it existed. It certainly helped many people. And to be quite honest, I think, in my opinion, it helps quarterbacks more than anybody else.
Because you get a chance to play. In a real game.
Exactly. There's one quarterback that gets to play. And sometimes you can have five receivers, multiple running backs, multiple tight ends, 5 different offensive linemen and things like that, defensive linemen, linebackers. But I always felt, I think it always helped the a kicker or a punter, somebody who was young with a lot of talent. And I think it helped a very unpolished wide receiver, maybe from a smaller type school. I think it always helped those kids, but definitely the quarterbacks. You just look through history. I was lucky enough to play there. Kurt Warner, Brad Johnson, Damon Heward, Todd Bauman, John Kitna, JT O'Sullivan. I know I'm missing some other guys, but guys that played a long time in the league that had great success. Yeah, 2 Super Bowl winning quarterbacks in Brad Johnson and Kurt Warner. So, yeah, it was a good proving ground.
I never forget Joe telling me the story about Adam Vinatieri, and he didn't remember his name much. He called him Allen for quite some time. Then he started calling him Dakota because he was from South Dakota State, and they made him the special teams coach. He said, Mike, I don't know nothing about coaching special teams. He said, I told a holder, how does he like it held? He said, well, coach, he likes it held and then pointed forward. He said, well, okay, that's my effort of coaching. Just make sure that's what happens when you grab the ball. And so he said, man, all the riders were, oh, man, Joe Clark. Clark's a great special teams coach. He said, man, I ain't taught Adam Vinatieri how to do anything. I just told him to hold it. Just make sure the ball is tilted forward like he wants it. Just think about Vinatieri because he's going to be in Pro Football's Hall of Fame too. That's where he started.
Yeah, you know, it's just that, and that's the thing, is those kickers and things like that. And I think sometimes guys just need a chance. And I think nowadays it might be a little bit different. The exposure, the availability to have teams get tape out, it's not even tape anymore. That's what we still call it. But
all right, I think we might have lost Jake for just for a second. So we'll try to get Jake DeLome back with us. And Jake now is the Panthers Radio Network color analyst. So we are trying to get him back online with us, talking about the Carolina Panthers as they play this coming Sunday against the New Orleans Saints. And when he comes back, we'll talk to him about Bryce Young heading into year 2 with the Panthers. Jake, I think we got you back.
Yeah, I apologize about that. Kind of rainy weather in Breaux Bridge, Louisiana.
What, so man, sure like everywhere happened. Else, brother. It's pouring everywhere.
Exactly.
Give us your assessment of Bryce Young year 1. Man, he got the crud kicked out of him. And now you're bringing in 2 big guards, very similar to what Sean Payton had to protect Drew Brees, who's an undersized quarterback from a height standpoint, and so is Bryce. And Bryce is even thinner based than what Drew was. Man, Jake, did he take a beating last year?
Hey, listen, Mike, he did. And I don't know if we can give an assessment off the first year. Let's be honest. This was a two-win football team, and those two wins were by a struggle. I mean, we beat the Houston Texans in Carolina, and we were able to beat Atlanta in Carolina. But other than that, we were a team that, to be quite honest, there wasn't much happening on offense. We started 15 different combinations at the guard positions due to injuries. Bryce got sacked 62 times. He got out of numerous sacks, like numerous that he would not have been able to get out of. It just, the kid, I think it's an incomplete grade, and that's not trying to make an excuse. I just don't think that you can grade him on that. And getting a Deontay Johnson to come in to help, signing the two big guards in free agency, all the money we gave those two guys, moving a starting guard, Austin Corbett, who had injuries, now he's the starting center. I think we're going to solidify that. We're going to try to run the football. That's what Dave Canales wants to do. You saw what he has done, Coach Canales, the last 2 years. 2 years ago, Geno Smith, the resurgence, kind of the resurgence of him. And then last year in Tampa, you saw Baker Mayfield play some of the best football he's ever played. But they were methodical in their approach and detailed in their approach. Stick to the run game. Let the play action come off of that. Get the ball out of your hand quick. And that's something, and protecting the ball. And you hear many of the Pete Carroll type of mantras that's coming out of Carolina, because that's where Dave Canales, his foundation was laid for all those years, so over a decade in Seattle. And so that's what I think you'll see, a different football team in that regard. But I think Bryce will actually have a fighting chance. Three different play callers last year. It just wasn't the best situation. And the kid is, he's such a good kid and he's such a team player. He never complained once and he took a beating. And like you said, he is not the biggest guy. He really and truly isn't. Yes, Drew Brees was 6 foot, but Drew, if you remember looking at Drew had some substance to him. He had those long gorilla arms. I mean, Drew had long arms and he would crane that neck. But the Saints did a fabulous job of protecting, shoring up the middle, the center and the two guards. But think about the great Saints teams. They ran the football. They ran it effectively. They threw the screen game. Those were the truly great Saints football teams. It wasn't solely on his arm. Yes, the arm carried them many years. But the great teams that the Saints had, especially that Super Bowl team, they got turnovers on defense, but they knew how to run the football in the screen game, and it was so effective in the play-action pass.
Jake, we had a caller ask about the pass rush situation with the Panthers. And like I always say, this next man up stuff, that's great in the locker room, but it don't really apply. There is no next man that's going to take Brian Burns' spot. There would be a guy, but he ain't in his zip code. Now, what you got is some beef up front, certainly with Derek Brown, with Shy Tuttle, former Saints player, A'shaun Robinson, who was with the Rams. Jadeveon Clowney, you know, I thought he had a really nice season last year, certainly with Baltimore. But, man, he's bounced all over this league after having a terrific college career at South Carolina. But who will give him the edge pressure? Because I know Derek can push the inside, and he's a fabulous player, just a big man. But he's not going to get those double-digit sacks. That's not his mantra. I think they're going to miss Brian Burns a lot on defense. And I'll be honest, Drake, last year watching them, that defense saved their bacon so many times. At least it kept them close in some games, because offensively you just couldn't score.
Yeah, no, you're right about that. And listen, I don't think we know who's going to be the other edge rusher, to be quite honest. I believe inside we're going to be pretty stout. With A'shaun Robinson and Derek Brown, he showed last year he became an elite player. And I hate using that word, but that's what he became last year. And all indications from training camp that it was extremely disruptive in training camp, and especially when the Jets were in town in the joint practices. And I anticipate him being the same way. Jadeveon Clowney, another one, long, and really gets after the quarterback. But on the other side, we signed DJ Wonnum from the Minnesota Vikings. But he had, it sounds like, a setback in a recovery from an injury. Not sure exactly when he'll be back. But we're searching for that other edge rusher. That's to be very honest. And I don't think there's some preconceived ideas that this is a team that can make a run at winning it all. This is a team that had two wins. And if you can see progress from this team, That's what I think we're looking for. I believe the owner has given Dan Morgan the time to try to build it. You're not going to draft Jonathan Brooks in the second round out of Texas, coming off of an ACL, knowing he's going to miss the majority of the season, if the owner wanted to win now. I think we're planning for the future. So, you know, hopefully we can be better. Our linebackers should be better with Shaq Thompson being back, signing Josie Jewell. J.C. Horn is a really, really good corner. If he can just stay healthy, he will be one of the better ones in the National Football League. We're strong at safety. Opposite corner, we're going to struggle right now. We lost one of our free agent signees in Dane Jackson to a hamstring injury. So we claimed three guys last week off the waiver wire at the corner position and traded for Michael Jackson a week prior from the Seattle Seahawks. So there's still going to be some things we have to work through. But that, again, I think that shifts back to the team and what can we do offensively. Can we run the ball and give our defense some breaks as we try to establish ourselves? Don't turn it over and become better in the passing game. Because you're right, defense saved the offenses behind many times last year. But it got to a point, if teams got up 7 or 10 points, they took the air out of the ball, Mike, to be quite honest. And they knew offensively we couldn't come back. So there wasn't a ton of passing attempts because they just knew offensively we were so hamstrung.
Jake, one of the things you brought up, Deontay Johnson, who I think is a really nice addition for this football team. But what have you heard about Xavier Leggett? I saw him at South Carolina. Man, he well-built guy, but always energized. Man, almost like he's got a wet finger in the light socket. Man, he's always up for everything. He brings a lot of energy. And also second-year wide receiver Jonathan Mingo, who played his collegiate ball at Ole Miss.
Yeah, listen, we're going to need to see a little more out of Mingo, to be quite honest. Last year, there were probably more downs than ups, and supposedly camp has been good. He's looked decent in the preseason. Adam Thielen's going to be Adam Thielen. I think you don't have to worry about that. Tight end position, I love the kid from Texas, JT Sanders, that we drafted. And we've had some injuries with Ian Thomas and Tommy Trimble, so he's gotten a ton of work. Now, Leggett, he had a hamstring. He missed a couple of weeks. But a big, strong, fast individual, a large man who's just happy-go-lucky, like loves football. And one thing that I thought was telling, the day he was drafted the last pick of the first round. So the first-round pick comes in the next day for his press conference. Well, he only had to drive like an hour, hour and a half from his hometown in South Carolina to get to Charlotte. You know how many people he had in his entourage when he came that day to the press conference? He had one himself. That told me something about him. It wasn't about being showy and things like that. He just wants to play football. He sounds like he's a country bumpkin. I visited with him at the end of May at one of the practices, and he has racehorses. He wanted to talk about the horses. And it was just funny. It's just he has this, like, infectious enthusiasm about him, and the players love him. And yes, he has this strong, really thick accent, and I'm the pot calling the kettle black with talking about an accent with somebody, but like he's just a country bumpkin and big old strong guy. So I could see us, you know, doing some of the jet sweep, getting some shallow crosses, throwing the ball up to him. Like there's been plays in camp where he's gone up in 50-50 balls and just attacked it. So, you know, he is going to be a rookie. There will be growing pains, but we've given Bryce weapons. Deontay Johnson, we all know how quick he is, and this is a contract year. Mike, we all know receivers in contract years. Yeah. It's amazing. They're on their best behavior, and they are available. So I anticipate him having a big year. So I'm looking forward to Bryce making a jump. It was so difficult last year. Where this team goes and does it compete for the division, that remains to be seen. Yeah, we'd all love that, but I'm not sure if the team is there yet. But I do think you'll see major improvement.
Jake, you and I both know this is a production league. Either if you don't win, you unemployed, or you employed by somebody else. And it's that way with Dennis Allen and the Saints. The boss man, so to speak, with the Panthers, he kept Matt Rhule for one more year because I kind of thought maybe Matt might not squeeze it out. I think Matt's a hell of a college coach. I really think he's tailor-made for the collegiate game. It didn't fit him the pro game. You look, man, when you win where he won in college, you know how to coach, but you know how to coach college players. It's different in the NFL. Your thoughts on the Saints and with Dennis Allen? He got another year here. this team defensively, I think, will be really good. Special teams, always good. But, man, major question marks around the offensive line. We know with Derek, that, you know, at his age, he's always going to be one of these kind of roller coaster quarterbacks. He's going to look good for a couple, three games, and maybe not so good for a couple, three games. And you take the roller coaster ride with him. You're not strong at tight end unless Juwan Johnson breaks through. But, man, their offensive line woes, that could be a major issue for this team. And they're never going to see a schedule with like they saw a year ago, playing these young quarterbacks or rookie quarterbacks, that sort of thing. And with offensive line issues, who you playing early, you got some issues all across the board there.
Yeah, listen, I think Saints defensively, Cam Jordan, his longevity and the way he plays, I don't even need to talk about him. You know he's going to show up. But there's a lot. Chase Young, I'm anxious to see him, if he can stay healthy. Brissett's going to make a jump second year. And certainly DeMario Davis, Pete Warner, you know, and the guy that signed from Kansas City. And then the secondary. This is a solid defense. Offensively, I think Olave is a fantastic receiver. There's still a couple of questions about who's the other guys. But what I believe the offensive line, I've played in that Gary Kubiak system, albeit 7 weeks with the Houston Texans. That system is very friendly for the offensive line and is very quarterback friendly, in my opinion. The wide zone, they can control the protection of the quarterback and things of that nature and some of the pass plays through their running game. And they have the guys on staff. Clint Kubiak, Clint was young. He was on the sidelines. He might have still been in college at that time. But been around it his whole life. I know he's young, but when you're around it your whole life, I just think that that's experience. But Rick Dennison being there, Rick was the offensive coordinator in Houston when I was there. Those guys are going to be well coached. And, yes, maybe there's some question marks up front. Right tackle, the young kid at left tackle, the left guard, Patrick. So, but I just believe with what they do offensively, that is something that can kind of help offensive linemen. And I don't want to use the word hide them or kind of like just kind of protect them, so to speak. I just believe that wide zone run game and some of this boot play action game, and they love to run these pass patterns called drift. And that comes from selling, complete sellout of the run game where backers have to flow and have to come up, and you can hit receivers in the cavities, I guess, that the defense has to react to the run. So I truly believe that's a way that they can kind of camouflage if there is some major deficiencies on the offensive line.
Well, there's one at right tackle, and Lucas Patrick, you know, he's been a journeyman. He's going to start at left guard. You got the rookie. Man, Jake, I'm telling you, he can play, Fuaga. Taliese Fuaga can play. But he's moving from right tackle to left, and we all see there's always sort of a change because your foot movement skills are a little bit different there, your hand placement's a little. But, Jake, I'm telling you, Fuaga's a really, really good prospect for this football team. And how quickly that gels, because I think I don't know how you feel about it. I think that's the last piece of the puzzle to come together for any team. Unless you got a veteran unit returning all five, that offensive line play.
Yeah, you know, Mike, and I think what kind of, I guess, kind of stunts the growth of the offensive line is that the limited times you're able to get in full pads, to be quite honest. I don't want to sound like one of those old guys that played in the previous CBA where it was unlimited padded practices, but there's a limit to padded practices that you can have. And I just think these 9-on-7 run periods and these blocking periods, you have to have that to establish some continuity and to get the run game. I go back to the 2008 season in Carolina with D'Angelo Williams and Jonathan Stewart. We're the number one running team in the NFL. And we did not get good until after week 8. Yeah, we were okay early on. And you could see it coming, but it just took time. And that was when we could still practice in full pads. And we did a lot with John Fox. But I just think those are the things that it stunts the growth of certain football teams, is the lack of padded practices. And you hear the word fitting up. You got to fit in the run game. It's got to have fits. You have to have combo blocks. These guys got to work together in that whole uniform.
Jake, thanks so much for joining me this afternoon. Really appreciate it, bud. Wish you the best all season long, and take care of them horses.
You got it, man. Thanks, Mike. Have a great day.
All righty. Thank you, Jake. Jake DeLome, former Saints, also Carolina Panther quarterback, now working for the Panthers Radio Network.